Well, as we come to the beginning of a new school year, schedules change and focuses change. I know a lot of things take place in the family, and it's easy for us, I think, to lose track of what is first if we're not careful. You know, we're all excited about going to school, new class, new rooms. Maybe you're involved in sports or the band or other extracurricular activities, different clubs that you can get into. Parents, of course, your schedule has changed. Maybe you take your children to school and drop them off or pick them up or run them back and forth for those extracurricular activities. And all of those things are good. Life just gets a little bit busier, perhaps. And I think it's important for us to keep in mind what's first. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know, when Jesus said that in the Sermon on the Mount, the point that He was making is that first signifies a priority. He'd been talking about the affairs of life. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What about politics? What about, you know, what's going on in the world today? And all of these things that are important, they certainly affect our life, and we have a responsibility in regards to many of those areas. But there's something that's first. And what's first is the kingdom of God. What's first is practicing the righteousness of God. What's first is, as we looked in our adult Bible study this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, is that we sanctify ourselves, that we set ourselves apart from that which is carnal to that which is divine. And we participate in the divine nature, and we separate ourselves from the carnal nature. The things that we deem most important to us will identify our personal assessment of success and happiness. Are you happy? Are you successful? A lot of that depends upon what's your view of what's first, your priorities. If you're not achieving your priority, then you're not successful, are you? If you're not achieving your priority, you're probably not happy. Well, we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Is that first with you and foremost? Success, somebody has said, is getting what you want. And happiness is being content with what you get. There's some truth to that. I don't know if those are wholly truthful, but they are truthful. Happiness certainly is being content with what you have. You know, if you think you have to have the newer thing or another thing and you don't have it, then you're not happy. Happiness is being content with what you have. Being thankful for what you have. You might not even have it. I want a new car. I want a new truck. Well, you've got a car, you've got a truck, and they work, and they get you where you're going. They're dependable. And so, I mean, I understand you want those things, but do you really need those things? There was a car program on one time that one segment of, they would drive this car that was worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, and do all kinds of performance things and everything. And God says, now, do you want a car like this? Do I need a car like this? And says, I don't need a car like this. Do I want one? Yeah, I certainly want one. But the point of the matter, you can apply that to so many things. I want a new dress. I want a new pair of pants. I want a new shirt. You know, to the slightest of things, I want a double cheeseburger. Well, are you hungry? No, I just have a craving for it. Oh, okay. That's different, isn't it? Do you need the cheeseburger? No, I don't need it, but I want it. Or a Blizzard or what, you fill in the blank for whatever you have a craving for. You see, the key to happiness is being content with what we have. And not always striving for the things that we don't have. Because if we're always focused on the things that we don't have, we're not going to be happy. We're not going to be content. Be content with such things as you have. The Bible says, having food and raiment, be content with what things you have. Having, when you get hungry, that you have something to eat, and having clothes on your back, be content with that. Well, what about the house? It didn't say anything about a house. What about a car? It didn't say anything about a car. Didn't say anything about a refrigerator full of food. It's just the food that you need right now and the clothes on your back, not a whole closet full, being content. Be content with that. How can you do that? How you know, that does not compute with a lot of people, and certainly doesn't compute with the carnally minded. How can you be happy with just, well, the next time I get hungry, I'm going to have something to eat, and I've got clothes on. How can you be happy with that? Because first thing is seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I know I'm in a relationship with Almighty God, that He loves me and cares for me. And that's how I know I'm going to have clothes on my back, and I'm going to have food on the table, and I'm going to have a house to live in. These things will be added to you. That's what Jesus said in the rest of this. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, these things, you need a job, God will get you a job. You need a house, God will get that. Don't worry about it. You just put God first, and God will take care of the rest. Does our personal standard of success align with God's revealed standard? This is God's standard of success. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Is that your priority? Or is it to get a promotion at your workplace? Or to be popular? Or just a host of many things that people are pursuing after? What is your priority? Have we set our heart on the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The way we keep our heart is that we instruct our heart, that we teach our heart what it should be thinking about, that what issues should spring forth from it, that we teach it the Word of God and His will. Colossians 3 in the first two verses says, if then you were raised with Christ. Is that you? How many of us can raise our... I was raised with Christ. I was baptized for the remission of my sins, raised to walk in newness of life with Him. If you can raise your hand, say that He's talking to you. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Again, that's another one of those ellipsis statements. Set your mind not only on things on this earth, but more importantly, set your mind on things above. Set your mind on the things of God, the divine nature. Set your mind on being right with God and living to the glory of God. Set your mind on those things, not only on the things of this earth. What are some of the first things all of us have that we should dedicate to God if we are seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? These are things that we have, not things that we would like to have. These are things that we have. Have we dedicated them to God first and foremost? Well, there's ourself first and foremost. We noticed this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that we are to know how we are to possess our body, our vessel, in holiness and sanctification. Dedicate it to God. Present yourself to the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5, he says of the Macedonians that they first gave themselves to the Lord. Have you ever stopped and just meditated on that for a moment? And I think sometimes when we are encouraged to obey the gospel and we think about obeying the gospel and being saved, that we really kind of have a selfish reason for doing that. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be forgiven of my sins. And we're really thinking more about ourselves than we're thinking about the Lord and giving ourselves to the Lord. I don't want to sin anymore because that dishonors God. That doesn't glorify God. That doesn't represent my Savior. You see? The Macedonians first gave themselves to the Lord. And that's what we need to do when we obey the gospel, that we're giving ourselves away. We've noticed this passage, and it's so important. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, where Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I've been crucified with Christ, but I'm not dead like people that are crucified. But the sinful man is dead. The desire to sin, I've laid it to rest that I might walk in righteousness with Christ. That's what he's saying there. I don't live for myself. I live by faith. I hear what Christ would have me to do, and I do what Christ would have me to do. Faith isn't just hearing and knowing what God would have us to do. Faith is doing what God tells us to do. We are to give God the first hour of our day. And we've talked about this before from time to time. And sometimes people say, well, an hour, that's an awful long time. Okay. Yeah, it is. I get up so early in the morning now that I don't know how I could get up another hour earlier to give to the Lord. Okay. Could you get up a half hour earlier? Or 15 minutes earlier? Or 10 minutes earlier? Or even 5 minutes earlier? To give the first thoughts of your day to the Lord? To spend some time letting him talk to you from your word. Oh, well, I've read the Bible. I know what it says. Read it again. You might read something that you didn't notice before. God might talk to you in a way that you hadn't heard him before. Give him some time to talk to you as you start your day. And give yourself time to talk to him, to present your concerns to him, to honor him, to praise him, to glorify him, to once again dedicate yourself to him and dedicate your day to him. That as you are about to go out into the marketplace, as you are about to go out to the classroom, as you are about to go to the job, as you're about to interact with the rest of your family, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, that you are committing that relationship and that association with whoever it is to God, to let Christ be seen in your life and to bring others into a relationship with him. Listen to God. Talk to God. Psalm 1 and verses 1 and 2 says, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now that doesn't mean that all he's doing is sitting around meditating on what the Word of God said. I mean, he gets up and goes out and works and goes here and goes there and has different responsibilities. But you know, as he's doing that, he's thinking about the Word of God. As he's driving from here to there, as he's laboring on something or working at something and has a break from concentrating on a particular effort to go to another effort, he's meditating on the Word of God day and night. Go to sleep at night, meditating not on just what the Word of God says, but how to apply the Word of God to your life. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1 says, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers. Somebody might say, well, I thought a supplication was a prayer. Or a prayer was a supplication. A supplication is a prayer, but a supplication is an intense form of prayer. It's an expression of intensity before God. Prayers and intercessions. Making intercession for your spouse. Making intercession for your children. Making intercession for leaders of government. Making intercession for leaders in the church. Praying for others who are in positions of authority and responsibility. Praying for them. And giving thanks be made for all men. Thank God. Thank God for your clothes and your food and your house and your car and your spouse and your children and your parents. Be thankful. You know, as I look out upon those who are assembled here today, I just realize how much each and every one of you has so much to be thankful for. The life that you're living. And be thankful that you're not living the kind of life that many people are living in this country and in other countries. We have so much to be thankful for. Do you thank God in the first hour of the day and throughout the day and as you close the day? Do you thank God that you know Him, that you've been introduced to Him through His Word? You know Him, you don't just have a feeling about God, but you actually know God as He's revealed Himself in His Word. And you know that He knows you and loves you and cares for you. Do you thank God for that relationship? Give God the first day of each week. Every week has a first day and a second day and a third day. And you say, well, aren't we to give God every day? Yes, but the first day of the week, He is certainly sanctified. He's set apart for a holy purpose, to be dedicated to God. We are to honor the resurrection day of Christ. John 20 and verse 1. Being the first day of the week, they went early to the tomb. But He was not there. He was risen. We assemble on the first day of the week to memorialize Christ. Acts 20 and verse 7, on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. 1 Corinthians 11 and verses 24 and 25, Paul reminds the Corinthians of what he had taught them about the Lord's Supper and the observance of the Lord's Supper. It doesn't specifically mention the day here, but it's consistent with what we saw practiced in Acts 20 and verse 7. We are to assemble each Lord's Day. Revelation 1 and verse 10, the Apostle John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Well, what day would that be? If it would not be the first day of the week. The day when Jesus arose from the dead. The day when the church first came into existence on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ. Pentecost always fell on the first day of the week. We are to assemble each Lord's Day to honor and praise and glorify Him. Revelation 4 and verse 11 says, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. Not only did He create all things, but by His will, they continue to exist. He is worthy of praise and honor and glory and power. Revelation 5 and verse 12 says, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom, and through strength and honor and glory and blessing." Indeed, He is worthy. He's worthy of our strength and our honor and our glory and our blessing. You see, that's what He's saying. He is worthy of us returning to Him what He has so abundantly showered upon us. We were unworthy, but He is worthy of all these things. We are to assemble in consideration of our brethren, to encourage them and strengthen them in love and good works, as Hebrews 10 and verse 24 and 25 tells us, consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting, warning, and encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know that there's a day of judgment. There's a day we're going to be judged as to whether we encouraged each other to love and good works. There's going to be a day that we're going to be judged as to whether we forsook the assembling of ourselves together with the Lord and His church. Consider all of that. Consider one another. Sometimes people say, well, I'm just not getting anything out of Bible study, or I'm not getting anything out of worship service. Are you putting anything into it? Did you come to encourage? Did you come to give, or did you come to take? Because if we come to take, we're not going to get anything out of it. You know, Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. I saw a little thing, maybe you saw it too, on Facebook, where a little girl was with her dad. I don't know, she couldn't have been much more than maybe 6 or 7 years old. They're eating in a pretty nice restaurant, but, you know, next to the glass on the, and she looks out the window and she saw a homeless man sitting on a bench out there. And she asked her dad, can I take my food out to him? And he says, yeah, you can do that. So she, and I mean, we're talking about steak and potatoes and, you know, the good stuff. And she picks up her plate and starts to walk out, and she says, oh, I don't know if I can do this, comes back. And he says, you can do it. And she takes it out and gives it to him. And he's thankful for it, accepts it, and starts eating. And she comes back, and she's sitting there watching. And he says, how does that make you feel? She said, I feel good. Well, that's right. Because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Come to worship service giving, wanting to give praise and honor and glory to God. Come to worship service wanting to give encouragement and blessings to others, your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you'll get something out of it. You'll feel good. But if you come just to take something, you're probably not going to get anything. Give God the first portion of your finances. Every blessing, every physical or spiritual blessing, is from God. James 1 and verse 17, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. He requires that we live as faithful stewards of all that He gives us. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. Proverbs 3 and verses 9 through 10 communicates a powerful principle of priority to us. Here He says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. It doesn't say just give something to God. It says give God the first fruits. Remember the sacrifices in the Old Testament that the Jews were to offer? They were to be without blemish. They were to be perfect. And that God was upset when they would offer the lame and the sick. And he said, that doesn't honor me. You wouldn't give that to your governor. Why do you think you can give it to Almighty God? Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all of your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. God deserves our best, and our best is our first fruit. God is saying here, when you can't outgive me. You can't outgive me. You give God the first fruits of your possession, and God is going to heap blessings upon you. That's exactly what he's saying. Your barns will be filled with plenty. You'll never miss it. You give God the first fruits, and you lovingly do that and joyfully do that, you're never going to miss it. And your bills are always going to be paid. And say, but I could be driving a better car if I had an extra, what I was putting in the collection plate. You're driving a pretty good car now, aren't you? Be happy with what you have. God will take care of you. You know, if you can't believe these things, I don't know how you can believe he that believes and is baptized will be saved. Because they're just words. They're just words. But they're the words of God. And if you can believe the promise that your sins are washed away in the blood of Christ when you obey him in baptism, then you can believe these promises too. Give God the first consideration in every decision. You know, every day is filled with decisions. What am I going to do? You can do this or you can do that. You can do it this way or you can do it that way. You know, decisions get a lot plainer when you base them upon what would God want me to do. In Joshua 24 and verse 15, Joshua said, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether it be the gods that your fathers served on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make up your mind. Who are you going to serve yourself? Are you going to serve the world? Or are you going to serve God? Joshua says, I'm going to serve God. And I would encourage you to do the same. Give God the first place in your heart. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. With all of your affection, with all of your intellect, with all of your strength, dedicate it completely to God. Love God more than anything. If God does not occupy first place in our life, he doesn't occupy any place in our life. He will not play second fiddle or second flute or second clarinet or whatever second there is. He has the priority in everything in our life, or he has nothing to do with our life. In Matthew 6 and verses 19 and 20, Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. Circle of life. things of this life wear out, get old, need to be replaced, don't last. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Let God occupy the first place in your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Give yourself first to the Lord. Give Him the first hour of the day, the first minutes of the day. You got to start somewhere, right? Give God the first day of each week. You're certainly doing that today. And I thank you for it, for the encouragement that it brings to me and that brings to others. For the praise to God that it brings. Give God the first portion of your finances, not what's left over after the bills are paid, but what's the first portion. Give God the first consideration in every decision. Am I going to date this boy, this girl? Am I going to go to this school or that school? Am I going to wear these clothes? You see, the smallest of things are great with God. Give God the first place in your heart. And everything else will take care of itself. Matthew 16 and verse 26 says, "What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Well, I don't know if I want to put God first in my life. I'll have him someplace in the top five or top three, maybe. Well, what are you putting first? That's what you're giving in exchange for your soul. Put God first in everything. And you'll be happy, your life will be full, and you will be joyous and knowing that He loves you and cares for you. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, and you've been thinking about that, and you realize that you need to dedicate your life to Him and live to His glory, then we'd encourage you to confess Him before men, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and walk with Him in newness of life from this day forward. If you're here today and a child of God, maybe you realize you're out of favor with God because of sin, maybe there's trouble in your life, James tells us to confess our faults to one another and to pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. One of the reasons we come together is to encourage each other and pray for each other. We cannot pray for you unless we know what we need to pray for. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.